Just want to welcome, if you're a guest with us this morning, you're very welcome. My name is Johan. I'm the lead pastor of this church, and it's just an honor to have you with us this morning. And, you know, we are a family on a mission. God has called us to this great city and nation because how many of you believe that God has got a dream for Ireland? You know, there's an Irish call, and I believe that God has called us as a church to play our part in this city, to go and make disciples. And so we are family on a mission. We exist to love God, love people, and bring a positive transformation to the people of Belfast and the nations. That's what we call every nation, every tribe, every nation. And so we are called to unlock and fulfill that Irish destiny. How many of you have heard about St. Patrick? St. Patrick had an amazing vision for this nation. It wasn't a selfish mission. It was a selfless mission where he came in as a foreigner. And many believe, it says in Isaiah 61, that foreigners will rebuild the ancient ruins. So if you're not from this nation, guess what? God has got you an assignment. There's a mission assignment for you in this nation. And so we are called as every nation to be a disciple-making family. And we do that through four strategic ways God has called us to make disciples. And we just love the campus, number one. He's called us to reach the campus. And because we believe in the leaders of tomorrow. And that's why God has strategically positioned us next to a beautiful university campus where we get the opportunity to spend some time with students, invest in them, and then they go off to the nations. And that's part of our strategy. And number two, he's called us to play our part in world missions. I believe God has got a global mission, not just a local mission for us as a church in this city. And he wants us to express that through world missions. We've been to Albania last year, Israel. And so we're just praying and saying, Lord, send us. How many of you know that's a dangerous prayer? God said, when you say, Lord, send me, then you end up coming from Evansville to Belfast. And I know that these amazing people have been available. And they said, Lord, here I am. Send me. And so we just want to honor you guys for coming. And I just love how God works and collaborates. And he's got a global plan. And how many of you know it's going to take more than our church to make an impact in the nations? And that's what I love about the unity. And God has called us here as unifiers in the city, working together with brothers and sisters from different denominations. I call every nation, every denomination is important to God. God is not coming back for a denomination. He's coming back for a church. He's coming back for disciples. And so, so he's called us here to play our part in reconciliation. And he spoke to my wife in 99. Well, spoke to me first and before I met my beautiful wife. And, he gave me an Irish flag. And at first I thought it was an Italian flag. And he said, I want you to go to Ireland. I remember that meeting so well as I was worshiping. How many of you believe God speaks through different ways? Primarily through his word and then through some pictures and dreams. And so I remember this flag and God said, I want you to go to Ireland. And there's a guy that got up 5 minutes later and he said, you know, I believe God has spoken to somebody here about Ireland. Can you please stand up? And that was me. And so fast forward, I met my wife, and how many of you know that two is better than one? You need help. So God sent me a helper, and so we prayed. And, you know, the beautiful picture I saw was this Irish flag that I saw in 99. And in 2012, he gave me another picture of these two flags, a Union Jack and a Republican flag knitted together, stitched together. And I was praying about it, and I believe God is saying that I'm going to use you as a church to be unifiers in this city. And so that's our mission. He said, I'm not calling you as a Protestant or as a Catholic, but as a minister of reconciliation, right? That's what we are. We're citizens of heaven. That our identity is not found in a flag, but it's found in Jesus Christ. And so I'm excited about our mission as we continue this week and as we step into West Belfast. You know, how many of you have seen some? We've got some walls in our city. And we want to see these walls come down. That's our heart. That's our longing. When Jesus said to his disciples, you know, teaching them how to pray and said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you know that heaven is a united kingdom? All right, so it's a united place where there's unity, there's peace, and we want to see that manifest on this earth. So Isaiah 58 verse 12, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. I see God is doing something amazing in this nation. He's bringing restoration. He's bringing healing. As we see the segregation, and you know, we believe that those walls are in people's hearts. And I just know that as we continue our mission in reaching them, loving them, we're going to see those walls come down. We see how people get a revelation of Jesus and how He gives them a new identity in Christ. And so, so I just want to just briefly share before I'm going to welcome my good friend Chris up here this morning. I just want to share just a few things that God has put in my heart. You know, as we come to this halfway mark in this year, I just believe that God wants to encourage us. Some of you, you know, you started off this year with a word, and you know, you had many New Year's resolutions and, you know, plans, and you wrote them down, and now you're kind of halfway, and you're like, oh my goodness, one has not even come to fulfillment yet. You know, I'm believing and trusting God, but I can just see there's some people, you know, just discouraged, disappointed. But, you know, I just felt God as I was praying. God just said, persevere. I said, do not become weary in doing good. Galatians 6, 9, do not become weary in doing good. And I just love about Jesus. How many of you know that He was the greatest life coach that was walked on this face of this earth? And so we're going to do some coaching this week. You know, we're going to spend time with 70 young people. God bless you guys. Special grace. But we're going to spend time with these young people. But I just love how Jesus just called His disciples together. Maybe this was in their journey. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, ambitions and plans that they had. And so Jesus knew that, you know, there's a bit of discouragement in the camp. And so He just called them together to Himself. And I love this from Matthew 28:18. If you know a bit about every nation, you know that this is a scripture that we quote a lot, the Great Commission. And I'm going to read here from the Northern Irish version, the NIV. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I love that part. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, I just love that. And I feel like this morning, He wants to come and just say to us this morning, all authority has been given to you. This is my commission. This is my plan to you, church. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. How many of you know that is just comforting to know that I'm with you to the very end of the age? Knowing that He's with us on this mission, that we don't have to do this on our own. And so I believe God wants to say to us this morning, persevere, do not become weary in doing good. And I know some of you have got some amazing things that God has called you to do. But we know to get to is not always easy. And so there's a bit of discouragement. But I just know that even in this week, God just wants to call you into a little mission huddle. He just wants to remind you how precious you are. He wants to remind you of what He's called you to do and say, do not give up. You are not on your own. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Holy Spirit. I just love that the Holy Spirit is with us as we go into this week, as you go into this week to reach people at your workplace. I know that we've got some coaches here among us. We've got Coach Jim Cruz all the way from Indiana, so good. And we've got Conrad as well as a coach that coaches the underwater hockey men's team in Belgium. And so, and I know that there's a certain times and for teams that you've got to call them together, because you could see, you know, there's a bit of discouragement. Maybe they've been on a losing course. They've been finding it hard, and they've not fulfilling their full potential. But I'm sure as coaches, you've had that moment, and just to call out the best out of them and see, you see the potential, but there's moments that you just got to say to those players, do not quit. Do not quit. I want to, and you know, you want to build them up and strengthen them at that time. And I love that, how those words can just be so powerful in people's lives. And I think about this week with these children, how these words are just going to be spoken over these children. We can do some character lessons. We're going to teach them about Jesus. And we're going to teach them about perseverance, courage, and all these amazing characteristics that we learn and we can extrapolate from Scripture and that they can apply to their lives. So he's saying, do not throw away your confidence. He gave them a life-transforming kingdom perspective for their lives, but most importantly, for their cities and communities. When he commissioned them, this was not a selfish gospel. It was a selfless gospel that he said, I'm sending you. As you received, I want you to go. I want you to go impart in these people's lives. I'm going to position you to be a blessing. As we've received, now we can give. But he said, do not throw away your confidence. Do not become weary in doing good. And I know some of us, we've been reaching out. That's one of the things we call to in every nation, is to go and engage and connect. And so some of you have been connecting. You've been praying for some friends of yours at your workplace. And you're just not seeing any results. And you've just become a bit weary. God has said, do not become weary in doing good. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Keep loving them. Keep sowing. Do not give up. I'm just going to end with this as I invite my friend up this morning, Chris. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. I love this, as the author writes here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So there's a couple of things that he's pointing out here. One, throw off some dead weight. Throw off some things that wants to entangle us in our mission. As God has called us to go and make disciples, he says here, there's things that's going to entangle us, prevent us from moving forward and being a blessing and reaching others. So maybe there's some sin, selfish ambitions, worldliness that we got to shake off, throw off, make a decision. And then secondly, he says, I want you then to fix your focus and fix your eyes on me. That's something we need to learn as disciples and followers. As Jesus called us to himself, he said, you know, follow me, look at me, I'm your example, I'm the standard. Fix your focus on me. And it says here in that last part of that scripture, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I just want to end off with this. What is God's promise to you, and what did he call you to do? You know, a lot of people would hear this morning and say, well, you know, what is my part in this great commission? Because I believe that this Matthew 28 is for all of us. It's still relevant. It wasn't just relevant for the disciples at the time. It's still relevant for us today. And in here is amazing purpose that God wants us to apply and use. So keep doing what God has called you to do. I love this quote, and I just end this here. says here is a friend of mine, Steve Morrell, he's the co-founder of Every Nation, and he said this: when you figure out what God called you to do, and you do what God called you to do, and you keep on doing what God called you to do, one day you'll look back and go, wow, look what God did. Friends, our purpose on this earth is to make Jesus famous. Our purpose on this earth is to make him known to every tribe, every nation, to all generations. And even this week as we go in, you know, we've got some basketball camp. I'm not a big basketball. Here we go. See, I'm not a basketball player. But, you know, God has commissioned us. You know, he's put something in our hand. He's put something in our heart. You know, and he wants us to pass it on. Johan. He wants us to pass it on to the next generation. That's exactly what they're going to do this week. We're going to pass some truths on that's going to make an impact in people's lives. It's going to have eternal value. And so let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for this week. We thank you for what you've called us to do, Father. We thank you that the Spirit is upon us because you've anointed us to preach the good news in this city, Father. To reach the lost, Father. You send us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And Lord, as we do it, we ask that you'll help us to lean not on our own understanding, but to trust you in Jesus' name, Lord, because your word says it's not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, enable us to do what the Father has called us to do in this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, it's my great privilege to welcome this morning my good friend, Chris Holzmeiser. He's a wonderful friend of mine from Evansville. God has opened so many doors for him to play an instrumental part, not just on governmental level, but on his city as a police chaplain. And I'm just inspired. Every time I spend time with him, I'm inspired. And I believe you're going to be inspired this morning as he shares the word with you. Let's just welcome Chris.
I told Johan that he could go ahead and do this. He could, there's no reason for me to be up here and this morning, and that was a good word. I think you just proved my point. So, no, we're really excited to be here. If I could just take a moment and just tell you about this group to my left. Johan talked about prayer and prayer being a big part of each one of our lives, or needing to be a big part of each one of our lives. This team over here of people that have crossed the Atlantic, I personally prayed for over a year just to see who God would have to be a part of this. Johan and I had been talking about it. We knew it was coming up, and so most of the people, and I'll explain this here in a minute, but most of the people here, I prayed specifically by name. God, if it's your will, put it on their hearts to come. There were three people that God kind of brought out of the woodwork, so to speak. I just met Kevin. We started talking several months ago. Matter of fact, Kevin's in-laws just started talking to him several months ago. So Kevin and Caitlin, they just got married 2 weeks ago back in the States. And you know how God works. He has basketball in his background, and so we just knew that was a perfect fit. We said, come on. And then Steve and Judy Durbin. Steve is one of my elders at our church, and I said, I want y'all to come and just see the work that's being done in Belfast. But each one of these people, matter of fact, I'm going to, we have a younger one here, and I want him to stand up. Noah, will you stand up just for a moment? Yeah, so here's a good Bible story point. No, go ahead. You got to keep standing. Noah is 7 feet, 1 inch tall. Now, that's tall, right? Imagine, you've heard one of my favorite stories in the Bible is David and Goliath. Goliath was 2.5 feet taller than Noah. You imagine, just put that in context of how big Goliath was. So, Noah, you're still big, okay? You're still tall. So, Anyways, no, it is really, for us, it is really an honor and a privilege to be here with you and to minister alongside you, worship alongside you, fellowship with you, and to be a part of your city here in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Johan asked me to come and share briefly just about some of the work that I do and maybe some of the doors that God has opened up for me in ministry throughout the years. And the way I typically at least try to do that or like to do that is by way of maybe comparing to a story in the Bible. And the story I'm going to connect it to a little bit is the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Not that my story, it's not that it's exactly like that, but I think what you'll see is there's some elements in Joseph's story that I think each one of us throughout different portions of our life that we can connect to and we can relate to with Joseph. If you recall, just kind of in a synopsis, not that we can take the entire time, and we can take and read through four, five, or six chapters in Genesis of telling the story of Joseph, but just in a nutshell, Joseph was the younger of several brothers, and he was not liked by them, was he? At one point, his brothers, they plotted to kill him. They looked off into afar and said, "Here comes the dreamer," and they plotted to kill him. They did not like him. They threw him in a pit. He was thus, what, sold into slavery, and when he was a slave, he caught the eye of some of his superiors, and they gave him some special responsibilities. And that went on for a period of time until he was falsely accused of what? Trying to have an adulterous affair or relationship with Potiphar's wife. And subsequently, he was what? He was thrown into jail. He was thrown into prison. But again, even in a dungeon, even in a jail cell, he caught the eye of a few of his superiors. He was faithful. Wherever he was, regardless of whether it was a mountaintop or a valley, I think what we read here is Joseph was faithful. And he was faithful even in a jail cell, a dungeon. So his superiors, they gave him some more responsibilities. And while he was doing that, two other people got thrown into jail. And during that time that they were together, those two men had some dreams, and Joseph interpreted those dreams correctly. He interpreted those dreams accurately, and all he asked for them to do was what? "Remember me," he said. "When you get out of here, remember me. In other words, I'd like to get out of here too someday." But Joseph was forgotten. Those two men, they went off. One didn't last very long, but the other did. And he forgot about Joseph. Joseph was forgotten for two more years. Imagine being faithful in a dungeon, in a jail, for two more years when you want to get out of there so, so bad. Until Pharaoh had a dream. And he needed someone to interpret it well. And then someone remembered this fella named Joseph down in a jail, in a dungeon, so to speak. And they said, "You need to go talk to this guy. Let me get him." So Pharaoh calls up Joseph and he tells him his dream, and Joseph interprets that dream correctly. And this pleased Pharaoh so much that he put Joseph in charge of the entire land, basically, and basically gave him one of those signet rings. And if you got a signet ring, that was like that was like a massive signature saying, "I approve of this." You had everything you needed to approve or disapprove of certain things. He had the stamp, the seal of that country. And so he had that signet ring. He had that power over an entire land and the storehouses, especially to prepare for an upcoming famine. And he led that process for that country to stay, you know, full of food for the entire time of that famine that was coming through the land. And a strange thing happens during this time. While the famine is going on, Joseph's brothers come calling. They don't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognizes them. And in the end, Joseph has this wonderful, you have to go and read it. Go to the latter chapters there in Genesis, and it's a wonderful story. But he has this this wonderful reunion and this wonderful reconciliation with his brothers and his father, and they come back together as a family. Now, how does this relate to my life? And most likely, how does it relate to your life at certain times as well? Well, I think first scripture indicates that Joseph was a dreamer. Genesis 37 says that Joseph was out tending sheep, and scripture says he had a dream. I would say thank God for dreamers. Thank God for people who have dreams of doing certain things and accomplishing certain things. Where would we be if a couple of brothers called the Wright brothers didn't have a dream of putting people, building a ship that sails in the air and flies people around? They had a dream to fly in the air. We wouldn't be here as a team so fast if it weren't for the dream of a couple people called the Wright brothers about having an airplane. I was a dreamer. I probably still dream. Back in the day, I was a daydreamer. I went to a place called Plaza Park Middle School in Evansville, Indiana, in the USA, and I still remember times when I would have to, or my teacher would jog me a little bit and say, "Hey, Chris, you're looking out the window too much." You know, I was a daydreamer. But thank God for dreamers. I had dreams to play sports. I had dreams to be involved in government. I had dreams to do all kinds of things. And you know, the thing is, probably each one of you here today have dreams, don't you? At least I hope you have dreams. God gives us certain things that he wants us to do and accomplish and talks to us about certain things. So the first thing I'd say today is encourage you. Don't be afraid to dream. Don't be afraid to dream. I would encourage you. Have those goals. Have those visions of what God would have you to do, especially for him. The second thing I believe the story tells us about Joseph is that when we have dreams, and this is kind of hard, when we have dreams, we need to be careful who we tell our dreams to, don't we? We need to be careful who we tell our dreams to. Scripture says he, Joseph, had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. These are the same brothers who what? They didn't like him so much. Matter of fact, they resented him to a degree. Joseph was I take it that Joseph was a pretty good-looking young guy. He was the son of a lady named Rachel, and Scripture says that Rachel was so beautiful that Jacob started crying the day he met her. That's a pretty lady to make a guy cry. You know, I've counted up over the last 4 or 5 years. I've done a couple weeks ago, I've done 21 weddings, officiated 21 weddings in the States. That means I go through premarital counseling 21 times with a couple at various points for over the last 4 or 5 years. And I've met some couples that have come back to me crying after they got married, but not before they got married, you know. So Joseph was Rachel's son, and thus he was kind of a good-looking guy, good-looking young man, and he had been given this multicolored robe. In the States, we have this play called Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Okay, so it's partially true, you know, partially true. He had this nice robe that he wore, and his brothers couldn't stand it. They knew he had some kind of favor upon him, more so than them, and they just resented him. And but he told them, he made the mistake of telling these guys his dreams. And I think a lot of times when God gives us a dream or something he wants us to accomplish or to work towards, we need to follow the example of even Mary in the New Testament. When the angel came to her and told her that she was highly favored and would become pregnant with Jesus, Scripture says she what? She pondered these things in her heart. In other words, she didn't tell everybody what was going on. The reason why I'd say this is because not everybody's on the same wavelength about certain things between you and God the way you and God are, you know? Sometimes we need to be willing to keep what God is saying to us, between us and the Lord, for a time. Doesn't mean you don't go out and get advice and things like that. You do need to do that, but for a time. Be careful who you tell your dreams to. I think the story of Joseph in its entirety teaches us also to be patient and forgiving. Patient and forgiving. Think about all the times that Joseph could have called it in and said, enough is enough. It probably would have been enough for me to look up in a pit and say, I can't go through this. He could have held a grudge, but he didn't do that. He could have thrown it in when he was in the pit. He could have thrown it in when he was falsely accused of an adulterous relationship. He could have thrown it in when he was forgotten by Pharaoh's cupbearer. He could have thrown it in. He could have cashed his chips in and said, "I'm done," and held a grudge for everybody for multiple years. But he didn't do that. He had patience and he was willing to forgive. And the question that I would ask each one of you today, is there anyone in your lives, any people, any groups, any organizations that maybe you need to be willing to forgive? And that's a hard question to answer, isn't it? But just like Joseph's example here is, have patience and be willing to forgive. And the last thing that, but certainly not least, is I think the story of Joseph shows us the importance of God's favor in our lives. Time after time in this story, Scripture says that God was what? With Joseph. He was with Joseph in the pit. He was with Joseph in jail. He was with Joseph wherever he was, Scripture says, but God, but being a big three-letter word here, but God, meaning something has happened, but God. God is with him. Maybe there's been some things that has happened in your lives, but God. But God is with you. God wants to be with you. God wants to be there for you. God was with him in the pit. God was with him in slavery. God was with him in jail, time after time after time again. Friends, I think the truth of this matter is this. We go nowhere in life. We accomplish nothing in life that ought to be accomplished without the favor of God, without God being with us. For me, I don't get born into a godly home with two wonderful parents unless God was with me, even when I was in my mother's womb. You know, I don't get to be married to a godly wife unless God is somehow been with me, because I don't deserve her. I don't have a testimony of adopting two children from another land, two kids whose parents had abandoned them, unless somehow God is with me. I don't get to serve on ministry in a place called Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. in the U.S., unless somehow God is with me and God opened that door. I don't get the opportunity to pastor 300 police officers and the staff and the brass that we call it, the administration. I don't get the chance to be their personal pastor and their personal chaplain in my hometown of Evansville, Indiana, unless somehow God opened that door, unless somehow God was with me. So Johann wanted me to share with you about some of those things, some of those unique experiences I've had in life, yet none of those things happen. They would have never happened unless somehow God's hand of blessing was on my life in some way, shape, or form, to which I'm eternally grateful. And I would say each person here to my left that is on this trip, to have them here, that is another example physically sitting in the room of God being a part of something, praying for them. So don't be afraid to dream. I think Joseph teaches us, don't be afraid to dream. Be careful who you share those dreams to. Have patience. Be willing to forgive other people along the way. And don't underlook the hand of God upon your life. Let me pray for you and hand it back over to Johann. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you, God, for the opportunity for our team to partner with this church in this area. for this coming week. I pray your hand of blessing upon the basketball camp and the kids and the families that we'll have the opportunity to interact with. Father, I just pray your Holy Spirit would even go now to soften hearts and prepare them for not only a message about how to play basketball, but most importantly, who you want to be in their life, how badly you want to be a part of their life, individually and as a family. I pray your blessings upon this church, that you would show this church your favor, and these people to my right, that you would show them your favor as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.